Okay, let me continue. So probably I have to accelerate a little bit because I don't have much more time left. But okay, now I'm coming to the interesting part, to the quantum correction on the Hitchin functional side. So we want to find F1 Hitchin. What's that? So the partition function, as we defined it, is a functional integral over two forms B with the action being Hitchin functional of rho form equal rho 0 plus dB. So the partition function is actually a function of cohomology class rho 0. This is a function on H3XR. So we evaluated this Hitchin functional in the critical point. It was this answer. And now we go next. So we expand as up to quadratic order in B and compute Gaussian integrals over B. So we compute determinants of the quadratic operator that will appear here. And so roughly speaking, that is determinant of something and log of this determinant is just F one loop of Hitchin is equal to log of Z, well, computed up to quadratic order, second order. Okay. Well, the story would be simple unless, as usual, some gauge freedom. And as in the gauge theory, we will have to introduce ghosts and precisely identify gauge transformations here, gauge degrees of freedom, and pull them out of the functional integral. Moreover, the story doesn't end on ghosts. It happens that gauge transformations are degenerate, so one has introduced ghosts for ghosts and so on. Or maybe just say that the convenient framework to work with degenerate gauge transformations is Bartel-Wilkowski formalism, where you do what I said with ghosts for ghosts. For gauge transformations, and that's what we will do here. So,
is this partition function over real B only, or
over
complex?
Over real B. So Hitchin functional is a functional of real three form, and we vary the three form inside some cohomology class with real Bs.
So you're only looking at the critical point of S, and then doing the addition.
That's correct. I expand S in the critical point up to the second order in fluctuations, and then compute determinants of that quadratic operator of fluctuations in critical point. So I sit in the critical point and compute determinant only in this point. No. S is a function of real three forms. S is a function of real three forms, which was defined as a square root of trace k of rho squared, where k of rho was defined as rho, which rho. Yeah. Okay.
What's the zero mode of this Hitchin
Yeah, I'm coming to that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Another one.
Yeah.
What's the coupling constant in that integral? I mean, you do a lot of expansion, you build the expansion in some coupling constant.
I think we.
The classical part and the general part and one little part.
Maybe as usual, you just introduced here 1 over h and the expanding h.
And where is this h on the module side? I mean, we want to compare teaching functional result and b-model result.
Well, on b-model side, it's g-string. The expansion for topological strings, that topological is e to f topological, and this is e to sum over f.
Is expanding in the background row not being logged? So the rescaling parameter of row not by an overall factor is what's the inverse of string coupling constant. So in other words, this classical action ends up being rho by rho hat.
Right.
And that goes like 1 over g string squared. So the scale of rho, the scale of the background, you see his action depends on the background rho 0. If you rescale that background, there's a direction. So if you rescale it along its own direction, that overall rescaling is the inverse of string coupling constant.
Okay, so we can reduce it until
you can rescale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So rho zero is corresponds to an integrable complex.
Right? No. Rho zero is just. That's correct. That's correct. So we can say in this way. So we take Hessian functional, we minimize it over B, and then we take as a rho zero that new cohomology class,
right. And
so rho zero will be integrable complex structure. And now we consider deformations away from it, right? So using the integrable complex structure in this point, you can use the whole machinery of complex geometry. We can use del and del bar operators and write the action in terms of them and do computations in terms of complex geometry. I mean, of true complex geometry, of integral complex geometry here. So one computes first the quadratic term. So rho h rho hat, if rho is equal rho 0 plus dB, and we decompose by Hodge B as a B to 0 plus B 1 1 plus B 0 to 4. So that turns out to be integral of dB 1 1 which d bar B 1 1. First of all, one notices that b to 0 and b 0 to 2 terms are absent. So the functional integral was over whole space of b's with b to 0 and b 0 to 2. But quadratic term doesn't contain them. So that seems to be zero modes. And fortunately, they're precisely identified with gauge transformations, namely diffeomorphisms of rho. So if you consider, rho as rho 0 plus dB, and consider diffeomorphism transformation of rho by some vector field x, then delta rho with vector field x will be equal to lead derivative Lx on rho. So that's Ixd plus dIx. Now, since rho is closed, this term vanishes, and what remains is d of Ix rho. So any diffeomorphism of rho can be represented as d of something. Moreover, this something is a contraction of vector field with rho. So if we start from rho as real part of omega, and consider diffeomorphisms of that three form, then they are equal to d of I x rho, and so this contraction of vector field with 3-0 form and 0-3 form, and so that will be 2-0 form and 0-2 form. So that's the idea, and that's why any transformation, any diffeomorphism transformation of rho can be identified with the direction b to 0 and b 0 2. So you can make a change of coordinates in diffeomorphism group from vector fields x to force b to 0 and b 0 2, and this change of coordinates doesn't involve derivative operator. So we can pull out of the functional integral over b 0 2 and b to 0 as integral of a diffeomorphism group. And so what remains this already in second order expansion this sign of equation. So what remains is integral of b 1 1 of exponent of d b 1 1 which d bar 1 1. And I don't write the volume of gauge group. So what's next? Well, that's not the end part of the story with gauge transformations. Gauge transformations are actually the following. First, we had diffeomorphisms, and the second is that B can be transformed by some d alpha form, and this is a gauge transformation of the theory. It could be not d. So if b is transformed by closed form, then db is equal to 0, and so rho is not varied. So in language of Hoyt's decomposition, the gauge transformations of b 1 1 is it's d of something, so it's d of b 0 1 plus d bar of b 1 0. So on this stage, I introduced the fields b 0 1 and complex conjugate to b 0 1 field b 1 0 as ghosts, and I will say that they are ghosts of first level. They are ghosts of first level because there is degeneracy in this transformation as well, and one can transform b 0 1 by d bar of some b 0 0 b 1 0 as d of b 0 0.
What did you say
their
first order because what?
I said first level.
First level, and then you made a sentence.
I said that there is a second level, namely the gauge transformations are degenerate. So not all B's correspond to variation of B11.
Right.
Namely B01 and B10 written in such a form doesn't vary B11. So this is degeneracy in gauge transformation, and we have to resolve it. So they're ghosts of second level. And here went up. So now I can write just the determinants of kinetic operators of physical kinetic term and of kinetic operators for gauge fixing. We can do that. also in BV formalism, but let me just write the answer. So from the physical kinetic operator, I will have determinant to minus 1/2 of DD bar operator, which acts on the space of omega 1-1 forms with zero modes deleted. Then, from gauge transformations of the first stage, I will have determinant in positive power. So you have determinant of D operator restricted on a space of omega 0-1 forms.
I'm being a little formal, but how do you...
Yes.
DD bar goes from 1-1 to 2-2, and they're kind of dual, but... What does it mean to form
the determinant? Yeah, that's right. I will say how I define the determinants just in a second after I will write the last one. So here you have determinant of D right here. It maps 0, 1, 1, let's say, to omega 1, 1, and I didn't define it so far. We'll do that in a second. And the last is determinant now to minus 1 of D operator, which acts on omega 0, 0. That's a determinant for gauge fixing of the second stage. Now we have...
The operator of which you take determinants depend on which gauge fixing condition you choose. So which is the gauge fixing condition?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. So... So definition of determinants is indeed equivalent to definition of gauge fixing condition, or in BV formalism, that's picking up of a Lagrangian submanifold in a phase space of fields. So to do that, we can do the following. I'm not sure if it is a unique way, but that's one way to do that. We can introduce some Keller class on the manifold. So if you're sitting in this critical point, let's introduce some Keller class K. And so we can build metric by K and complex structure. And then we can define Hodge star. So if we define Hodge star, then we can pick up gauge fixing condition for these transformations, like D star or D bar star of something is equal to zero. Well, I'm not going to very explicit details, but that's a rough idea. So if you have a space, let me show you on a simple real example. Let's say we have such a complex, real complex, just of P forms. And the action, the functional integral with the action fn dfn on a 2n plus 1 real manifold. So what is the partition function for this quadratic theory? So the gauge transformations are the following. U of n form f is d of n minus 1 form f, and so on. So these are ghosts in BV notations. On the other hand, we also have antifields. Antifields are f of higher degree. So q of antifield f n plus 1 is equal d f n. So f n plus 1 is antifield for f n. And Fn plus 2 is antifield for Fn minus 1, which is a ghost of first level, and so on. So there is a tower of fields and antifields. So let's say that so let's consider like Chern-Simon theory. So this middle dimension that was F1, that this is physical field. So F2, F3, and F0. Now this is physical field. This is antifield. Well, it's antifield with respect to symplectic to BV symplectic structure given by Fp, which n minus p integrated over manifold. Well, I mean 2n plus 1 is dimension in space. So this is the whole phase space. So the whole phase space in Batenko-Witkowski formalism, yeah, with ghosts and antifields, is just the space of all forms with grading, odd and even parity is interchanged with degree of form. Now to perform the integral, we need to do the following. We need to take the classical action S. We need to extend it to obtain the full master action. So we extend it by ghosts and antifields. And actually in this example, S turns just into F and DF to N. Well, FK DF to N minus K, and the sum over all ghosts and antifields. So that's S.
Maybe plus 1 or something.
Maybe plus minus 1. Well,
no, the indices.
The indices
plus
2.
One. No,
okay. No, because there is D, so...
Okay, right, D there. Right.
Yeah. So this is the full master action SBV. Well, we can see that it satisfies BV master equation with brackets constructed by the symplectic structure. But to finish the computation, we need to impose some gauge condition. That is to pick up some gauge fermion or equivalent, and that is to pick up Lagrangian submanifold in the space. And a convenient way to do that is to pick up some metric and impose the condition of Lagrangian submanifold as D star F is equal to 0 for all Fs, for P running all indices. So that will be Lagrangian submanifold, and now this gauge condition precisely deletes zero modes of each of these terms, well, up to some finite space of cohomologies. So if we assume for a second that cohomologies are trivial, then from this procedure we will obtain Z as a functional integral over that space with this action. It will be a product of determinants of D operator on a space of omega p raised to plus minus 1 power. Minus 1 to p, something like that. Yeah, so we are coming to notion of Reissinger torsion. That's what it's about. Now here we can do the same procedure. It's a little bit more technical because it involves not single D operator, but it involves Hodge decomposition. But the result is,
is this combination like the
Euler
characteristic of a complex, the other ones?
No, this combination, I'm writing what this is. This combination is actually Reissinger torsion of holomorphic bond of X divided by Ratzinger torsion of 0-1 form. Oh, sorry. Of 1-0 forms of X with respect, which is defined with respect to del bar operator. So what I mean is that instead of this real complex, we can consider some holomorphic vector bundle and 0p forms with values in that holomorphic vector bundle, and instead of D operator, you can consider del bar. And in the same fashion, one can define a holomorphic version of Ratzinger torsion, and it will be function of holomorphic vector bundle. So this combination turns out to be the following.
How should I think of this quantum theory for this part?
Normally, it's a six-dimensional theory. It's normally normalizable. This. It's a six-dimensional theory. These determinants need to be regularized. I think it will depend on a cutoff.
Well, the determinants. This procedure that we proceed here. We do not in a very rigorous way, but the way we do is we pick up some Keller class, we construct metric. Given the metric, we can define determinants of D operators, and then we can define determinants in terms of Laplacians as determinant of D as a square root of determinant of D Hodge dual. And then determinants of Laplacians we can regularize by the zeta function, and we can obtain finite answer. Given that, now we can return to the initial question about by hand introduced metric. So we see that our construction depends on metric which wasn't present in the initial theory. The metric is picking up a metric is equivalent to picking up of Lagrangian submanifold here. Well, in BV formalism, naively, the answer doesn't depend on chase of Lagrangian submanifold, but there could be some quantum anomaly. And actually, a simple way to do that, or maybe the way that it was done, is to first introduce metric, compute determinants, compute the answer in terms of metric, and then study how the answer depends on metric. And it turns out that the answer actually doesn't depend on metric if one restrict variation of metric in a certain class. Precisely, the answer doesn't depend on metric if we choose metric to be Ricci flat, so that if we choose metric to be Calabi-Yau metric. That's first condition. The second condition, if variation doesn't change volume of the manifold.
Not just the volume, the full period class.
Well,
let me say it another way. The computation you'll be doing is the same as if you're doing A model. In fact, you cannot distinguish this computation from the A model part, at least the classical limit of the A model part. Oh, classical limit depends on whether you have the stringy version of the A model part or not. So since the computation is sensitive, that you in principle would have the classical piece of the A model part computation. So in other words, this is not what you're computing, is strictly speaking Kähler gravity mixed up with Polaris Master Theory. And
as long as you don't, as long as you vary the Kähler, as long as you fix the Kähler thing, you could say, well, you have just fixed it and you're just varying the complex piece.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in the string theory computation, there's one computation of one diagram, genus one, which gives you A, A bar, B, and B bar at the same time.
That's right.
All four are coming to one computation. And I think you're just writing the field theory version of that same computation. At least what you're going to say, presumably. But so the Kähler dependence is automatically there. It's almost democratic.
Yeah, I think that's right. So now you're currently the interesting part is that this combination of holomorphic Riesinger torsions is not what has been computed one time ago, 91 probably year, in BCOV in the previous paper, and it was found that one loop free energy of B model is indeed given by combination of Riesinger torsions, but slightly different way. Namely, it involves product IP Riesingers raised to power P to minus 1 P. So it has some more factors than we obtained here. So there is some discrepancy. Where is the resolution? The resolution turns out to be very physical, and moreover, fortunately, mathematical background for it was already done, and also by Hitchin. And it is connected with the notion of generalized complex structure on manifold. So now I'm going to be brief. So if complex structure was defined as some element of endomorphisms of Tx, which squares to minus 1, and so on, generalized complex structure is defined as endomorphisms of Tx plus Tx star, which squares to minus 1, and which is conjugate equals to minus itself. So that's the notion of almost generalized complex structure. It was, as I said, it was introduced by Hitchin and then worked out in details in thesis of his student, Gualtieri. One can refer to that thesis for full details. But roughly speaking, if we plot this matrix at the four, well, the blocks 2n, 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 2n on even dimensional manifold, let's say that will be Tx, Tx star, and this is Tx, Tx star, then if this matrix is chosen in some way, something like that, then it corresponds just to usual almost complex structure. If it is chosen something like that, then omega is a 2-form, and omega minus 1 is a B vector. And this generalized complex structure corresponds to symplectic structure on manifold. So generalized complex structures in some way interpolate between symplectic structures and complex structures on manifold, and so if they are more general objects, they can be useful, and it turns out that they are indeed useful. So Hitchin did more for these generalized complex structures. Namely, he introduced the functional in the similar way like the functional for almost complex structures, such that critical points of that functional produce integrability condition for generalized complex structure. So the way to write it physically is to enlarge the space of fields three forms by all odd forms. So Hitchin shows that if one consider the total odd form on six-dimensional real manifold with some geometrical conditions, and he constructs, let me call it S extended Hitchin of this row, and if it, this row is restricted to some cohomology class in H1 plus H3 plus H5 is row 0 plus DB, and now B is an even form which varies from corresponding powers, then doing exactly the same what we did before, one can show that there is so-called generalized holomorphic form omega equals rho plus I rho hat. Now it's a form of arbitrary odd degree on manifold, and it defines a generalized complex structure. And quadratic piece of S extended Hitchin, well, in second order, that's the following. That's DB11, which D bar B11, plus additional terms from this extra guys. And that is DD bar of B00, which B22. So if we do...
After you've added ghosts? After you've added ghosts?
No, that's before ghosts. This is just classical. This is just classical S-extended Hitchin. This is classical action. And B00 and B22, they correspond to deformations of this extra... of these extra forms, deformations in generalized directions. I mean, in directions for generalized complex structure. So this is still a classical part. To quantize it, we do again BV and construct BV complex and write down all determinants for ghosts, fields, and antifields. And the answer for the partition function in the quadratic order turns out to be exactly the same like was computed for topological B model in one loop. So now it is a product of holomorphic Riesinger torsions, non-terminating powers, and P runs from 0 to 3 and includes everything. So that's the conclusion, that to obtain agreement between one loop quantization of Hitchin theory and one loop computation topological B model, we have to extend the classical theory into the space of generalized complex structure deformations. And actually it can be interpreted and viewed from B model side as well. The deformations of B model were classified by minus PQ forms, and we can recall that the case of minus 1-1 corresponds to deformation of complex structure. We know how to build worksheet action given operator of this type. We just need to compute the second descendant of operator. Let's say that if you have operator which inserts in point, then you can do compute d with the q of O1. That's first descendant, and the second descendant is d1 is q of O2. This is two form, and it can be integrated over a world sheet. And so to each deformation of this type, we can add deformation to the action. But if you want that the deformation would be of Gauss number 0, we have to require p plus q is equal to 2. So that means that the deformations of world sheet action of Gauss number 0, generally speaking, classified by three types, by three cases. P plus q equals 2 is minus 2, 0 case, minus 1, 1 case, and 0, 2 case. So this case is just classical deformations of complex structure. So what is that? Well, that's some two form BIG bar, and this is some polyvector holomorphic field. So they correspond in this description. This deformation corresponds to deformation of this block. Well, if I start from JJ and deform by form minus 1, 1, then the deformation corresponds to deformation of this block. But these guys correspond to deformation of this block and that block. The block for polyvector field, B vector field, and the block with 0, 2 form. So that means that even world sheet theory naturally knows about generalized complex structures in terms of these deformations.
And they could be viewed as one of five forms by wedging with omega.
Yeah, that's correct. So now we can wedge that with omega, and if we wedge with omega, so we multiply by 3, 0 form, so that's that turns out to be 1, 0 form. That's 2, 1 form, and that's 0, 5 form. Oh, sorry. And this is 3, 2 form. And that's exactly the, right hand side of relation with Hitchin forms rho 1. On Hitchin side, we have forms rho 1, rho 3, and rho 5. But they were real forms. And this is just like left-hand side of Hodge diamond, but complex. So the total number of degrees of freedom is the same. And this is numerated either by real odd form or either by complex form of type 1,0 to 1,3,2. And maybe a little one more comment is that generally speaking, we know that in terms of open B model, if you consider now open B model, then open B model couples to holomorphic vector bundles in target space, and one can ask what is the deformation of that space of holomorphic vector bundles. Well, if we deform a complex structure, then this is just deformation of complex structure, the space on which those holomorphic vector bundles live. But what about B small and B large? That was worked out in works of Kapustin, I think, and maybe his student. It is shown that deformations by closed B form correspond to deformation to twisting of holomorphic vector bundles into into object which is called Jorb, which is somewhat general notion, and deformation of poly vector B field corresponds to deformation of multiplication in ring of sections of the holomorphic bundles. It corresponds to deformation of multiplication into non-commutative multiplication. So this B vector field can be viewed as a Poisson structure and analog of Kantsevich star product can be constructed using this this object. But all this is viewed only as an infinitesimal deformations. It's not known precisely what happens for finite order. I think that's I stop here. Yes.
I have a question about the divergences. You use the theta function regularization model.
Yeah, we can do that.
Extend this machinery for the second.
Well, it's not known so far. It's right.
So
we can say it's work in progress, but it's not known.
There is no prescription how to do that in general. No.
WorldShift has its own regularization, but he's asking about state functions, just feed theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if not, let's thank us to you.